Irene gets a lot of notifications. That's what she has to do. She also always has like 20 unread DMs. So if you ever message her and she doesn't reply, don't be offended. Thank she you. Doesn't reply to me either.
Okay.
Hey, Hottie. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far. My name's Amanda. You can call me Ducky or Duck Dog, whatever you prefer. Today, I am sitting across from the beautiful Cara Arredi, and welcome to another episode of To Be Honest, the podcast. Hi, Cara.
Hello.
How are you going?
I'm going great. How are you going?
I'm going pretty good today, thank you.
Lovely.
Yeah.
What's been happening?
What has been happening? I've been, you know, doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. I've been pretty burnt. I mean, I don't want to tell you that I'm burnt out again because that's all I fucking say. So let's avoid that. Other than that, my bestie from Hobart was here. That was a fun vibe. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend just moved into our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun vibe.
Temporarily. I just know people will be like, oh my God, you're moving in together. Temporarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cara's going away for a bit. So my boyfriend's moving in in that time. Anyway, as we know, Cara's in a long-distance relationship, so...
Do we all know that?
Oh, fuck.
I think you might just be dropping a bomb on that one. Anyway, let's glide right past
My point is... My point is I'm doing good. Thank you.
Great. How doing good. You're on some new shit.
Did I ask you how you're going already?
Yeah, you did, and I said I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you what I have to be honest about?
I actually would really love for you to tell me what you have to be honest about.
Okay, so I decided for today's episode, when I'm sharing what I have to be honest about, I really wanted to make a public promise to myself.
Okay, I have no idea where this is going, so I'm very intrigued.
So I've just been thinking more. Let me tell you about this experience briefly. I'll keep it as brief as I can because you know what I'm like. But I recently went to this gluten-free cafe bakery on the Gold Coast that has been around for a while. It has new owners. I went in there and I was like, you know what? This place is really nice. It's really nice.
Yeah.
So I went back today and I bought some almond feta that they had made in-house, and I got myself a cacao.
I don't know where you're going with this. I don't know where the story is going.
So my point is...
This is such a you thing to do.
My point is I really enjoyed being there, and I thought, you know what? I want to make a promise to myself that I'm really, really going to consciously support local businesses more.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many of them on the Gold Coast.
There are. And the reason I say this is because, you know, I really want to be doing more things like going to the markets and going to cafes who make almond feta, etc. You get what I mean. I want to be doing this more and really intentionally, you know, I've been intentionally trying to purchase clothing and things like that, but it hasn't really gone into my food fully because I keep going to the supermarket and I'm just trying to be more conscious of where I'm spending my money.
Yeah,
supporting
lovely.
Local businesses. That's my public promise to myself today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's a great promise. That's amazing. I think it is really, it's interesting because obviously we shop at Coles and Woolies here in Australia. Those are the two biggest supermarkets. And they'll be Australian grown and stuff like that. But you are detached from the people and how local it is. And obviously a lot of the time it's not local at all. And supporting Australia grown in general is great, but local is probably the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any recommendations why Ducky can buy more locally made almond feta, tell her to know. Anyway, that is a great promise,
Thank
though.
You.
That's a
Thank
great
you.
Promise.
What do you have to be honest about? Give me something more riveting than that.
Look, I don't know if I can, because what I'm going to be honest about is the fact that I think I may have missed my calling.
This is going to be so ridiculous.
And I might have, I think I could have been a pretty good barista.
You're kidding yourself.
You're so rude.
Sorry, I was made up in a joking way. I did. I mean, I've never tasted your coffee, so who am I to
You've
know?
Never tasted any coffee. You wouldn't know what a good coffee tastes like.
I have tasted some coffee.
You wouldn't know what a good coffee tastes like if you bit you on the nose.
That'd be quite outrageous, really. Anyway, tell me why you think you've missed your calling as a barista.
Yeah, because I just got my coffee machine for my birthday for my friends, which I've already spoken about. I don't know if it was a Patreon episode or a public episode. I think it might have been Patreon.
It's all a blur at this
point. It's all a blur. We've done so many things. It's fine. And I didn't know how to use it. Didn't have a fucking clue. Didn't know how to froth milk. Didn't know how to even like measure a shot of coffee. No idea.
Mm.
And I'm still not great, but I'm pretty good. And I've only made like a handful of coffees.
That's really
good. I'm actually loving it. And I'm actually wondering, like, then is the novelty going to wear off?
Yeah, it will.
Well,
you know what, though? You know what? No, maybe it won't. You know, fuck me for being so negative. Yeah. I'll say that.
Good.
But, it wore off for me after like a week.
Well, yeah, I'm actually not doing it for work, though. So, like, yeah,
exactly.
I'm doing it when I want to enjoy a coffee.
Yeah.
And also, I'm aware that I'm about to go away for 6 weeks. When I come back, I'm going to have like a new honeymoon period with my coffee machine.
Mm.
But anyway, that's that. I made a really yummy coffee this morning. It's like getting me into hot coffees again.
Mm.
Lovely. Maybe I'll like try and make a mocha.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do that, but I'm sure I can figure it out.
Iced cacao, but you put coffee in it. Do you know how to make an iced cacao?
Yeah, I've seen you make an iced cacao.
Well, there you go.
Hmm.
No problems.
Okay. Lovely.
Lovely. Anyway, let's get into the episode.
Stop talking shit and get into the episode.
Today we're doing an episode of Unprofessional Opinions. Unprofessional Opinions, March 2023. Lovely.
Lovely. We've
got some really good questions for today. So, Miss Reedy, oh, wait, by the way, if you're new to the podcast, Unprofessional Opinions is a monthly episode that we do where people submit their questions and we answer them.
You really skipped your whole spiel just then.
Yeah.
You usually have that down pat, just like it comes out of you naturally. I just sit here letting you do your thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you want to kick it off with what our first question is?
I absolutely do. So our first question is, what are your tips on achieving body positivity or body neutrality?
I really like this question. And spoiler alert, we're going to actually do like a dedicated episode on this because we haven't done one on this topic in honestly a few years since we first started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a topic that I am still really trying to navigate, and like one of the biggest issues that I have in my life is my relationship with my body.
Mm.
But I think things that I have really been learning, especially recently, is like unlearning all of these societal beauty standards that have been drilled into us from the beginning and really kind of understanding why we are being made to feel that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, just in case you guys haven't listened to our episode on it or aren't familiar with the terms, like, I think body positivity is a pretty standard term at this stage. Like, obviously it's about the idea of being very positive and you know, accepting of all body types and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But body neutrality kind of came out of the idea that we don't have to love our bodies, like body positivity often preaches.
Yeah,
we just have to like make sure that we're not hating on them, essentially. Yeah. We can just be like, it's my body, it doesn't need to be anything more or anything less.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I think like I'm still navigating it. I honestly don't know like if it's realistic to believe that you're ever going to have it figured out as a human, especially as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it is always going to be a bit of a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of tips on achieving it, I would say like it is really hard because like what might work for one person might not work for another person.
Yeah.
Like I actually feel like me and you are very different probably in the way that we approach these things. Like I know that I really like to, in a way, like try and challenge myself to go like, you know, if I'm wearing something that I'm not super comfortable with, I try and challenge myself to wear it anyway or buy something a bit out of the norm and stuff like that. And that might not work for everyone. Like I kind of go from, you know, I don't know if I want to wear this. I don't know if I feel good in it, but I'm going to like kind of force myself to do it anyway. I don't know if that's the best way to go about it.
Mm.
Sometimes it works for me though. Like sometimes I'll leave the house and I'll be like, you know what, actually I'm getting like people telling me that they like this thing that I'm wearing and I feel confident in it and I feel comfortable in it and stuff like that.
Mm.
I also think that in terms of like body neutrality, which is, I think that's the way that both of us are leaning in terms of like what we think is probably the better way forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe leading by example, like not commenting on anyone's body, like whether it's like obviously like no negative things, like that's really important. And like, but also not commenting unnecessarily as well, like kind of setting that like boundary for people, the people you interact with and stuff like that. And even like setting a hard boundary if people are doing it in front of you and you're just like not really interested in it, or even just saying like, hey guys, I'm working on this right now. So I'm really trying to like kind of step away from being conscious of what my body looks like and having that be the front and center of my mind.
Yeah.
And if that for you manifests in terms of like exercise, eating, no matter what it is, like clothing, think about what is like weighing on your mind and what you need to step away from in order to be more body neutral.
Yeah.
What else do you think about that?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I also think, like, for me personally, I really try and focus on how my body feels rather than how it looks when I am navigating my relationship with my body. So I find when I'm doing things like moving my body, I will feel really good in my body, if that makes sense, for the way that it feels. Like, I don't necessarily look different, but I feel really good.
Yeah.
And I think that if we lean more into doing things that make our body feel good rather than doing things that make our body, quote unquote, look good, then we actually will feel better overall.
Yeah.
As well as that, I mean, I think we've heard this like a million times over, but like, I do not follow people on social media that post that fucking bullshit of like, they're like a typically attractive white girl and they sit down and there's like one tiny roll on their stomach. Yeah. I think that kind of thing is so... Maybe it's helpful to the size sixes of the world, but like, I find it really, really triggering for me personally.
I feel the exact same.
And I find it really actually quite insulting the way
it's
that...
It's like quite condescending in a way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because it's like, I understand that we're trying... These people are probably not coming from a place of malice and like showing that they, you know, have insecurities too, regardless of being societally beautiful. But I think when people show photos and be like... This is what I look like unposed. And that's what, like, you know, people in bigger bodies look like when they are posed. Mm. Like, that's not a very nice feeling. You know what I mean? I think the negative connotation that comes along with it. So, first of all, personally, I wouldn't do anything like that. And I understand that, like I said, I don't think people do this kind of thing from a place of malice. But I think that there are a lot of people with really large platforms on social media who do this kind of stuff. And I do think it can do more harm than it can good.
Well, yeah.
So I encourage you to, if you look at that kind of content, I've followed people like this in the past and thought, oh, this will make me feel better. And then I thought over time, it actually is making me feel worse about my body. I really encourage you to unfollow and to mute people that do post that kind of content if it's triggering for you, or if people post content, any kind of content that's triggering for you. Yeah,
well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, regardless of whether it helps, like if anything helps certain people, if it's hurting you or hindering you, you don't need to follow them. It doesn't matter how actually well-meaning the message is, or if your friends find it helpful, or if the wider internet thinks the person is so, like, you know, influential and great. If it's not helping you, you can unfollow. And I also think that when you were just saying that, Ducky, like, what I was thinking about was that, like, I've started to follow people whose actual, like, I think we can get so caught up in trying to be body positive that we focus so heavily on our bodies. So following people whose actual, like, whole brand isn't their bodies, or like body positivity and stuff like that, can be helpful.
Yeah.
Like, just following people for the fact that they are, like, funny, like, creative, smart, whatever it is. Like, if you like the fashion, if they can still have, like, a similar body type to you. Like, I follow a few people who have a similar body type to me, but they don't make content about, like, why you should love your body. Because, like, I feel like that just reminds you that it's hard to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, just basically, like, I think that the one of the best things you can do is, like Ducky said, really figure out, like, what's making you feel good in your day-to-day life, whether it's friends, whether it's social media, whether it's the things you're watching and consuming, and then figuring out a way to make it less centralized around what you look like.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, moving into our next question, which is, I have a new partner and I don't want to be that person that ditches their friends, but my social battery is running low. I'm feeling guilty for having less time for my friends. Do you have any advice?
The first thing that comes to my head is that it's very important to realize that it is natural for your life and relationship dynamics to change when you get a partner, and that's normal. And I think there can be this, like, kind, and I've definitely been in this space, like, when I was younger, there can be this kind of, I don't want to say immature because I don't want to sound condescending or anything, but this kind of naive, maybe, like, expectation that you're, if you have, like, if you're a really good friend or a really good sister or daughter or whatever, like, nothing about your life should change, or that your relationship should change once you get a partner. And I just think that's unrealistic and untrue and actually can be quite unfair to anyone, whether it's yourself, whether it's your friend who's getting a partner. It's unfair to them to not allow them the space to invite someone else into their life and to enjoy them and to, like, you know, see where they fit and stuff like that. So I think for the first thing I wanted to know is that you don't want to be that person that ditches their friends, but like obviously ditching your friends is one thing. If you're never seeing your friends now that you've got a partner, that's a whole other story. But like, I think there needs to be some room for maybe some movement and some adjustment and some slight dynamic changes. And I don't think you need to be hard on yourself for that necessarily.
Yeah, I agree. I think especially like for us, as we get to the 30s kind of time and we, I think are really both of us feeling how busy life is right now, in general, it is just natural that these things do happen. And it is about just making sure that you do, if your friends are important to you, then prioritizing that time with them, but reminding yourself that you're juggling an extra thing right now.
Yeah.
And a romantic relationship usually takes up a significant amount of
priority.
Time. Yeah, and it's a priority. Yeah. So like, I totally understand, because I've felt this way so much since having a partner. But I think as well, like, your friends are people who will understand, will hopefully, if you communicate with them, like, you know, I want you to know I'm kind of struggling, like, actually balancing having a new relationship and maintaining all of these other things in my life. And, you know, just communicating, like, if you ever feel like I'm not prioritizing you, please let me know, because this is something that's new for me right now. And I do think that, you know, most people, most really good friends will understand and will also communicate with you if their needs aren't being met, if they need more from you. But as Kara said, it's valid that you just do have less time on your hands. That's just the reality of the situation.
Exactly. I completely agree. And I think it does come down to that communication. Like, if you are feeling guilty, just have an honest conversation with your friends and say, hey, I'm kind of having a bit of trouble. Like, I feel like I'm struggling with guilt in this adjustment period between meeting my partner and like seeing like you guys, considering you're so important to me. This is how I feel. And then you can maybe, I'm sure they would want to help you. I'm sure they might have some like, you know, reassuring things to say. Maybe you could say, like, instead of doing this thing, maybe we can all do something together. Or like, maybe instead of doing this thing like twice a week or on this day per week, why don't we do this instead?
Yeah.
And like, you can just like, you know, as this doesn't even just happen when you get a partner. It happens at all stages of life, when work gets busy, when personal things are going on. Like, we have to let room for the dynamics to kind of shift, because our needs will shift over time.
Yeah.
And this is the perfect example of that. So yeah, if you're kind of being too hard on yourself, I would be very conscious that like, it is very normal, natural and valid for that to change. And just try and like, remember that and have a conversation if you are finding that it's on your mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we have another relationship one next. So this person said, my boyfriend is likely moving to Western Australia from Sydney. I don't think I can do long distance and I want to move with him, but he's independent and it has an avoidant attachment style. I'm worried that if I bring it up, he will feel smothered and withdraw. Do you have any advice? This is a tough one, I think.
Yeah, but I also think that there could be a straightforward answer to it.
I think it's straight. I agree with you. I think when I read this, I was like, I think I know exactly what I want to say, but I do think, I feel for this person. I feel for the tug of war they're kind of in this situation.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, like, if you don't want to do long distance and he's definitely moving, the only option is to say something.
Yes.
Because regardless, like, if you say to him, I want to move, and then he says, this is too much, like, you're smothering me, etc., that's kind of an answer in itself, if that makes sense. Like, that is kind of a similar result to you trying to do long distance, because that's not going to work for you, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I think overall it's definitely best to say something, and also just remind yourself, if he's an avoidant guy, he's probably not going to be the first one to suggest you actually moving with him. I don't know how long you've been in a relationship. There are so many variables, but if you're feeling like this is something you want to do, like, not to be like, you only live once, but you only live once, I think you just have to try and find the courage to have that conversation and share what you want from the next stage of your relationship.
Yeah, and like, not even just want, but need. Like, you have a need, you have needs. That's what happens in a relationship. Both people have needs. Maybe one of his very important needs is that he needs to have that feeling of independence, but you might also need to, it sounds like you do need that feeling of closeness, and at least, like, you know, you can't have a pretty significant you know, space apart, like, just for people who aren't from Australia, like, it's obviously different states, Sydney and WA, and it's not like, it's opposite sides of the country, really. So it's like a flight away. You wouldn't just drive there in a weekend kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that communicating that need is really important because, like Ducky said, what's the alternative? Like being unhappy in a long distance relationship. And I also think that even though he's independent, like just because you might decide to move somewhere together, he doesn't have to give up his independence. Mm. There are a lot of ways that you can compromise and kind of work together to make sure that he feels like he has room to like be his own person and space to be by himself or whatever independence means for him. And you also get what your needs met. And I think that if you fear that he might not be open to that conversation, that might point to something, another problem in itself potentially. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long this relationship has been. I don't know how long you've been with this person. Mm-hmm. So maybe you feel a little bit like it's too fast to talk about moving states together and stuff like that. Like maybe that's a factor. But I think regardless, if you are really certain that you, or even just thinking you can't do long distance, it needs to be talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do not think that that is smothering at all to be like, I don't want to live in a different state. Mm. Can we talk about moving together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another little relationship question.
There is a lot of relationship ones this episode.
So how do you know if you love someone or you just crave the feeling of love so much that you take the first person available to you?
This is something that I used to think about a lot. Mm. I used to get very worried about it, worried about making the wrong decision, and worried. I don't even know where the worry came from.
Mm.
I don't know. I think my opinion now is just that if you're being honest with yourself and you're being self-aware and you're being honest with the other person, you will know over time how you feel.
Yes. I also think a good question that I sometimes like to ask my friends, like if they are having, you know, like issues in their relationship or if they are not knowing, maybe they're dating someone, they're like, oh, I just don't know. I really like to ask them like, okay, let me just ask you if like someone came along, someone else came along who looked like this or had these interests or whatever, would you be curious to get to know them?
Mm.
And I think if the answer is yes.
As in a romantic sense,
obviously. In a romantic sense. I think if the answer is yes and you're not a polyamorous person, then it's probably a no to the other person, right? Does that make sense? Because I feel like for me, like I've totally been in situations where I've been dating someone because I wanted to date someone, not because I wanted to date them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you can totally feel the difference because like when I was dating those people, if someone else came along who was like super my type or whatever, I still would have the curiosity to explore that. Whereas like, for example, with my partner now, who I love very much, I would not want to do that at all, right? And pretty much from when I started dating my current boyfriend, I like knew that, right? And I think that that is a good way that I have found to, that my friends have found helpful and that I've found helpful in navigating like, how am I feeling about this person actually? Mm-hmm. And I really like to think to myself, like, is this the type of person that I actually want to spend like a bulk amount of my time with? You know what I mean? It's a tricky thing to navigate though, regardless, because like, you know, we're living in a society that constantly wants us to be finding a romantic partner and stuff like that. It's hard. And especially in today's dating world, which is just absolutely exhausting.
Yeah.
It's hard to know what is genuine connection and what isn't. So I definitely understand the question.
Yeah. And I think like kind of similar to what you just said, like, do I want to be spending a bulk of my time with this person? Like on top of asking yourself, like, you know, if someone else were to come along, would you want to pursue something romantically with someone else? You could also ask yourself, okay, like, well, what do you love about this person? Like what, and by love, I mean like something that really makes you like feel great. Like as in what makes you really think like, I can't wait to spend time with this person. Like, is it that they're really funny and like really smart and you love hearing the things they're passionate about and you love, like, you just feel like you have fun with them no matter what? Or is it that, you know, you live for those moments where you're just receiving the love. And like, that sounds like, that might feel like a really tough thing to admit, but it's also like Ducky just said, it's really hard to be someone in this world who wants love and maybe hasn't found it yet.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily a shameful thing to feel. It's just like, if you're honest with yourself and you think, you know what, I'm realizing that the parts of this relationship that I own, like, the only real parts of this relationship that I really value are the ones where I'm receiving the love over and over and over again. It's when I'm getting the physical touch, and when I'm getting, like, the attention, and when I'm getting, like, I don't know, the generosity that comes with love and stuff like that. Obviously, those play a part in any relationship of the part that enjoys it. But if it's only those parts, I think that kind of can point to whether it's the receiving of love that you love or if it's the person that you love. Does that make sense? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're pivoting to social media.
Lovely.
This next question is, how do you deal with social media anxiety? For example, wanting likes, views, comments, etc. This person asked, only if you've experienced it. And I thought, hun, we've experienced it in this here podcast. I'm going to throw it over to you because I feel like you are the social media expert, considering you literally do it for a job. So go ahead.
So I totally understand this on both like a personal and a professional level, because there is an element, I'm not going to talk much about this element, but the professional element of this in terms of social media is the fact that your income is based on the amount of people that are viewing and liking and commenting on your stuff. So there is that element. If you're someone who makes money off social media, you know that these are things that are necessary in order for you to earn enough income
and to keep your business growing.
Yeah,
and your brand growing.
Absolutely. So I definitely look at it in that way. Before I started working in social media, though, and even now, like, sometimes I do look at it on a personal level of, like, the validation that comes from that, you know? I think it's not as present these days since, like, Instagram removed likes and stuff like that, and I feel like people are really learning the fact that, like, the algorithm works in a certain way, it's a business in a certain way, and all those kind of things. But I do think that it plays a massive part in how people feel validated.
For sure.
So something that has really helped me, because I really don't feel this anymore, like on a professional level, I do, like when a video doesn't perform well, but on like Instagram and stuff like that, I honestly don't really think about it all that much.
Like, you're not attaching your worth to your personal performance on social media.
No, absolutely not. And like, honestly, my performance is not very good. It's like, it doesn't really bother me in the way that it used to. And I think something that I realized that has really, really helped me, and I've spoken about this before, about like wanting to stop consuming clothing and stuff like that, is like when I realized that people want me to keep consuming clothing, like all of these like huge corporations and stuff like that, I was like, fuck that, I'm not contributing to that, like I'm not letting them take control of me. And I feel a similar way in regards to social media. Right, I had these moments where over the years I've realized I'm so concentrated on taking a photo that's going to get a lot of likes or getting a lot of comments or getting a lot of views that I'm totally removed from the actual experience that I was having in that moment. And like at the end of the day, like what is actual real life? And that is obviously what I'm actually experiencing. I'm getting to a point, I promise. My point, is that it's not as simple as just getting over it. But Instagram and YouTube and TikTok and all of these platforms, they want us to not get enough comments because they want us to then post more in order to try and get more comments and try and get more validation. That's the way that social media businesses work. Yeah, right?
they work by people continuously posting.
Yeah, it's the same as this podcast. Like literally, if we started making like one podcast episode a month, we would get way less listeners.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, that is just the way that social media works.
Yeah.
And all of these algorithms are designed to support people who post a lot, because that's the way that these businesses make money. So I think you need to remember that element of things, that social media is a business. It's not just like a personal thing anymore. Even if you are just using it for your personal thing, like Instagram, for example, as a whole is a business and you are a user of that business, if that makes sense. Once I like realized that and I was like, nah, fuck that. I'm like, I don't want to keep like feeding this thing just in order to make myself feel good.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, what actually matters to me is not how many of my friends like this photo. It's how many of my friends in real life I connect with and who, you know the real me and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And identifying how much that stuff enriches your life more than when people like your photos.
Yeah.
It can be a difficult thing to do, but it really, really has positively changed my life, realizing those things. And not to rant too much about this, but as well as that, like, social media wants us to keep consuming more because we're addicted to it. Like, our whole generation pretty much is addicted to social media. It makes sense that you have social media anxiety. I think, like, I'm going to say 75% of millennials and Gen Xers would have social media anxiety. You just
pulled that number out of your ass.
I did.
But look, it's probably accurate.
Like, this is the thing. It's totally something that most people are addicted to. The validation that comes with it, the fact that we date on it, we make friends on it, we do our work on it, we share all of our achievements on it, et cetera, et cetera. It's basically just like a bragging platform for how well we're doing in life in some ways. Oh,
this is the thing. It's like, even if you're detached from stuff like that, like, you know, social media is always a level of, like, it's always a show.
Yeah, absolutely.
It by default is a show because it's not really, indicative of our life. I think that if you're not using social media for your job and you are really struggling with it, it actually could be really helpful to just go off social media for a bit.
Absolutely.
Like, not necessarily delete your whole Instagram or delete your whole whatever profile you're particularly focused on, but just delete the app. And, like, say to you, I'm going to go, like, maybe say to yourself, like, I'm going to go a week, a month, or whatever it is, like, to challenge yourself. Like, maybe start with a week. Because if you do find that you're always, like, trying to post and trying to get likes and trying to, like, get views and stuff like that, you might find that a week is really hard. But it's kind of like breaking any bad habit. Maybe after a week, you'll find, like, oh, like, the stress might fall away a bit, and you can start thinking about what it is that really makes you, you know, crave these things.
Yeah.
I also think turning off notifications is really, really important.
That's one of the best things that I ever did. Yeah.
Like, when you post a photo, do not... First of all, it's annoying to have all those notifications pop up on your phone.
Cara already has high engagement, if you didn't know.
What? That's not what I was saying.
Cara already gets a lot of notifications. That's what she has to do. She also always has like 20 unread DMs. So if you ever message her and she doesn't reply, don't be offended. Thank you. Doesn't reply to me either.
Okay. I live with you. I reply to you in person. My point is that turn off the notifications so that, you know, if you post a photo, if you don't want to, like, if you don't feel like you need to, like, delete that, or you're not ready for that, whatever it is, when you post a photo, put your phone down and be like, I'm not going to look at it for 5 or 10 minutes. I'm not going to be scrolling and, like, refreshing and seeing, like, oh my God, there's not many people liking this. Is it a good photo? Am I looking pretty in it? Whatever is going through your head, you won't be doing that if you're, like, not actively checking the engagement, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think, like, challenging yourself in that way would be really good, along with everything Ducky kind of just said as well. Like, it is a very tricky thing because, like you said, it's just... It's literally the entire industry, right? Like, this is exactly what they want, and that's why it feeds into it, the anxiety and the self-consciousness and stuff like that. But becoming more aware of it, I think, is, like, the first step to, like, stepping out of it.
Okay, what are your thoughts on the idea that family is everything? I don't have a relationship with my toxic sister.
I think that the thought of family is everything is nice, but it's absolutely bullshit.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, yes, family, if like, the idea of having a family that's super close, or, like, you know, you really love, and that you, whether you get along fully, like, all the time, or whether you just, like, genuinely have so much love and care that you can work through things and stuff like that, like, it's an individual thing. This is an individual thing. I personally don't feel this way. I mean, I love my immediate family, like, to death. Like, I, despite anything that happens, like, I can't imagine myself, like, you know, ever being estranged from my immediate family. Like, so in that capacity, I would say I'm similar to this. Family is everything. But my extended family, that's not how I feel. But I know a lot of people who are so close with their extended families that their whole extended family, it's like a non-negotiable. It is an everything, an all or nothing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just think that that is a personal decision and a personal belief. And I don't think anyone should ever be expected or judged for doing whatever is best for them. So if you find that your sister is toxic and making you upset, hurting you, not treating you right, if whether your mom, your sister, your dad, whoever it is, your auntie, your uncle, your grandparents, like, I think everyone has the right to set that boundary and to say, I don't want you in my life. It doesn't matter about blood, because actually a lot of the time, the people who think that they have a right to be in your life are the ones who can treat you the worst, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think, like, as well, this whole family is everything notion can make people who aren't close to their families feel not good about themselves. And I think it's important that we normalize the fact that, like, not everyone is close to their family, no. You know, like I feel very privileged to have a close relationship with my parents, mm-hmm. but like it doesn't, not everyone is in that position and not everyone needs to dedicate the time and the energy to their families if the relationships are not serving them, you know? And absolutely. I think that we do need to remind ourselves of that when we talk about family in general, with our friends, with new acquaintances, with coworkers, etc., that family can be a very, very complex thing.
It's always a complex thing. A lot of people have
complex relationships with their family, and this is something to always be mindful of.
Yeah, and I think understanding that to be in your life is a privilege and not a right, and that goes for friends, romantic partners, family, is important.
Yeah.
So make your decision accordingly.
Yeah. Okay. So our last question for the episode is, my best friend is my business partner and we see each other every day. She honestly gets on my nerves a lot and I talk about it a lot in therapy, yet I still find myself frustrated with her. Do you have any ideas on how I can get space whilst working with her?
Being business partners with a friend is always, it's kind of like living with a friend. It's always going to be a little bit risky and a little bit tricky, and I think obviously you're already in a business partnership with this person, so it's, I don't know what conversations have been had, but like I always think it's important to go into these situations with a very you know, on the same page, understanding that we're going to be open, we're going to communicate, and we're going to like commit to like working through things that might not be working, because those things are bound to come up. It doesn't matter like who you are, how close you are, how similar you are. Like a business is a hard fucking thing to run.
A business is a hard thing to run like by yourself. It's a hard thing to work in, even businesses in general. There is always conflict in business in some way.
Absolutely.
It is unavoidable.
Yeah.
And that's something to be super mindful of, I think, in this situation as well. Like if your business partner slash your friend is getting on your nerves, like that makes sense. They're your business partner.
Yeah.
Like in business, people get on people's nerves.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like, obviously it does depend on like what's happening, how much it's affecting you and stuff like that. I think that if you, I'm kind of getting the vibe that potentially it hasn't been communicated to the extent that maybe it should have been. Like, you know, if maybe you sit down with your best friend and you say, hey, like there's a few things I've noticed that, you know, that aren't working or like aren't compatible with the way that I like to work, and just like, you know, very kindly and openly like tell them how you're feeling and then give them the space to do the same for you. Because honestly, and you have to be open for this, you have to be open to having the other person say, will you do the same similar things to me? Because honestly, you probably do. Like I'm actually almost certain that you piss her off as well.
We're all human and we all piss each other off, which is something that we need to keep in mind.
And that's not a bad thing. It's just a human thing. And like it's having the space to, you know, to talk about it openly is the most important thing. So I think maybe if you haven't already, sit down and have a very open, very honest conversation. And then at the end of the conversation, talk about like if you still feel like these things are going to be an issue, like, you know, there are some things that maybe like, you know, if your best friend likes to work in a certain way and she's like, well, that's just the way that I work best, like I don't know how to, well, this is just what I think is the best thing to do. You might need to talk about ways that you can navigate that so that you can come to a compromise in the middle where you're both, you know, maybe you're not getting exactly what you both want, but you're getting at least a little bit of your needs met each, because again, that is the nature of any relationship, and especially a business relationship where the personal really does have to be put aside to a degree. That would be my first piece of advice. And my second piece of advice is like kind of similar to yours. It's just like getting on each other's nerves is kind of, it's kind of part of working in general. Like if you think, I think maybe when you're in a personal relationship and a professional relationship with someone, as a friend and as a business partner, it can be easy to feel like, well, why are you annoying me so much? That's so much more annoying than you're my best friend and you're annoying me. When really, like, most of us would go to the office and fucking roll our eyes at half the people we're in the office with.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, I'm not trying to say that that's the healthiest dynamic, but that is a dynamic because we spend so much of our time working and then so much of our time with our friends, and you're doing both of those things with this person.
I feel like important as well to be able to remove, like, the business partner from the friend, like this person is your business partner in some spaces and is your friend in other spaces. And I understand it's not as simple as doing that, but I think if you can remove, like, if you can look at the interactions that you have at work as like your business interactions and things that, you know, perhaps, you know, the workflow isn't working in a certain way, because Cara's right, like, it can be easier to get annoyed at someone when they're your friend because you expect more of your friends than you do your coworkers. So I think if you try and separate it and go, okay, how would I approach this person if they were just my coworker and we had a surface level friendship?
Yeah.
How would I approach the things that we're dealing with and how we're not working well together? And I think that addressing that, whilst also saying, like, I know you're my friend, et cetera, but, you know, these are the issues that I'm having. This doesn't affect my friendship with you at all, but I just really want to work through these work things, can be a really beneficial thing for you to do.
And it's also the most beneficial thing for your friendship and for your business.
Yes.
Like, both things require that level of honesty and openness and willingness to work on things together, because if she's your best friend and your business partner, both of those things are incredibly important. And it's not just as easy as saying, well, whatever, let's give up.
Yeah.
Which obviously we don't want you to do and you don't want to do.
No.
Anyway, I think that's all we have time for today.
That is all we have time for today. But thank you for being here and listening to today's episode. Hope it got you moving on your hot girl walk, or got you doing that spring clean, or got you laying down in bed like you need to and rest. Regardless, we hope you have a really beautiful week ahead. As always, if you're after bonus content, we have weekly bonus episodes over on our Patreon. It's linked down in the show notes if you'd like to support us financially in any way.
As always, guys, we love you, and we'll be back in your ears with another episode next week.
Love ya. Bye.